Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. Welcome to the Weekden Update, your weekly dose of everything Grizzlies presented by the Grizzden Podcast and the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Will Walker, and I'm joined every week by John Kraft. How's it going, John?
It's going pretty good.
The Grizzlies are 18-35, 0-7 since the last Weekden Update, 13th in the West, 25th in the NBA, 8.5 games back from the 10 seed. This might be the week that we retire that specific line item from the agenda. 30th in offense, 13th in defense, 25th in net rating with a negative 6.4. We start every week to update with who's up and who's down. John, what's your who's up?
My who's up, and maybe, I don't know if this is a depressing or a good who's up, but my who's up is Jason Marsh, the hustle coach, because... Well, I think he won his 100th game since the last time we did a Weekden, but because basically he's responsible, it feels like, for every player on our team right now. So many G Leaguers, so many guys who played in the G League. I also know that just from other things that I think we have a record. Like, I think he has a record, like 11 players who've played with him that have gotten official NBA contracts. That actually, I think, was a stat that came before the GG. So it might be 12 or 13 now. I'm not sure. But he's my who's up in the sense that it does feel like we've developed well. And honestly, you know, I mean, that we've had a lot of players that have been helped. Even like a Kenny Lofton Jr., who's not with us right now, who we cut, he got an NBA contract from us, and now he's also on the 76ers. So I think in that sense, one other bright spot, I guess, in a really hard, sad season has been that I do think our organization from the top down is pretty strong. And, you know, going back to the under the Heisley era, I don't think we would have even thought that we would have been the one NBA team without a G League team. And now I feel like we're a pretty legitimate, we do a good job scouting. We could do a good job finding guys in the G League and putting them on the hustle. And so shout out to him, basically.
Yeah, Jason March is an elite G League coach. He's proven. I wonder if he'll at some point get some actual head coaching looks. We haven't seen his name thrown around too much, which is good for the Grizzlies. But I wonder, too, if the hustle are going to start to become, you know, stuff of legend here. If you're a young prospect that doesn't quite have it yet, go to the Hustle, see what we could, maybe the, you know, the new G League Ignite, the unofficial Ignite, you know, over here in South Haven. So that's a great who's up. My who's up is along the same lines, but Trey Jemison, who received the third two-way spot after Gigi Jackson signed a contract with the main roster. And I, you know, Jemison is a pretty prototypical center. He protects the rims, athletic, huge body, and is, I don't think he has a super long-term future with the Grizzlies, but in the interim, he is going to get a lot of opportunities because we also waived Chimezie Metu, who is the center that technically came back from the Phoenix Suns David Roddy trade. And I personally thought we would waive Lamar Stevens before we waived Metu, just with the center position as in the situation that it's in. But Trey Jemison is going to be the one who's going to carry that load, it seems. And I think there's also something to be said for us testing out some Jaren at the five and, you know, some other guys down there and playing small ball. So we'll see. But that's my who's up. My who's down was going to be all of us, because Zaire Williams is still on the roster after the trade deadline, but he is the honorary who's down.
The honorary.
So I think the rule is,
without saying.
It goes without saying, but the rule is we have to have someone else besides Z, and that is Jacob Gilliard, because another thing that I had predicted before the trade deadline was that our moves were going to open up a roster spot to where we would be able to sign Gilliard to that 15th spot, even after signing Gigi Jackson. But I thought that he would get at least some sort of a, you know, reward for putting in all the time that he's put in. It seems also, I mean, that could still theoretically happen, but it's going to take a lot. Like, it's very unlikely. He's up against his games limit almost too, because he's played in so many. And so that's just my who's down. And it's sort of a sad one, because I think he's just played unbelievable this year. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to get too much consideration on other rosters. He probably will have to do some more time in the G League, if I had to guess. But my hope, I don't know what the flexibility on G League contracts is, but I would hope that the Grizzlies do what they can, you know, to thank Gilliard for his service, if you will, because he has really been so much fun to watch and has held together a team, brought it every single night. And he'll always have the Steph Curry highlight block and some of the other. I mean, he on a team star for shooting, this guy can actually shoot as well, in addition to playing defense and running an offense. So I've just been really impressed with him. And I hate that it didn't work out to him not getting called up or whatever. So that's my who's down.
He'll always be able to tell the grandkids of the his own personal 9-0 run in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks.
That's right.
This last week too. So my who's down, a similar vein. And this, it's a little confusing because I think it might be a double negative. So a lot of cheating this week. But my down is my own denial. It is gone now. I officially this morning watched a 9-minute YouTube video of Alexander Saar. So I feel like that is my official, that's my official turning the page on us making the play-in this season, being 8.5 games back, this 8-game losing streak. I think the Hornets loss last night did it to me, that I'm actually now looking, even though, you know, honestly, I still don't know if we'll actually keep the pick, but I'm beginning to try to get excited about some of the draft picks, some of the potential lottery picks in this draft. So my denial, it's down, it's gone for good. So.
Sunday, February 11th is how long Kraft held out until he finally admitted that this might in fact be a season, you know, headed where it's headed.
FanDuel will no longer allow me to cash out my Grizzlies makes play-in bet that I made probably way later in the season than most people would have. So
that's incredible. Let's get into our news and notes. First big note, by the way, if you want our instant reactions to the trade deadline, go and listen to last week's episode from Thursday. We also had the big trade deadline primer on Monday, so a lot of content for you. But we just wanted to do some cleanup here on the weekend update. And Gigi Jackson has officially signed a real NBA contract to join the Memphis Grizzlies past this season. It was not initially reported what the numbers were, but the sense was it was going to be similar to what Vince Williams got. And it turns out from Mike Scotto of Hoops Hype, the contract is 4 years, $8.5 million, and the first $6.1 million is guaranteed, which are the first 3 years. I'm going to go ahead and assume that means the rest of this season is that first guaranteed year. And so he has two after this one, plus the third year. When they say non-guaranteed, you know, that usually that does mean a true non-guaranteed year that we could theoretically cut him and, you know, not have to owe him anything. I was also wondering, because Vince Williams is a team option, so there's some semantics going on. I don't know if it's a team option or if it's truly just a fourth year non-guaranteed. It would probably be better for Gigi from a business perspective to have it be an option there, but we'll see how it goes. But Gigi Jackson on the roster after a 27-point output off the bench against the Chicago Bulls earlier last week. And it was funny, too. We were joking that we need Gigi to stop playing well so that this contract is a better value. And, you know, it didn't matter. He both played well, and the contract is an incredible value. Kraft, what did you think when you saw the news come through?
I was excited. I, too, hoping. I mean, it seems like it's going back and forth. I think most people seem to think it's going to be a team option. That would be awesome if it was. But we'll see. Well, you know, to get the official. But it looks like we have him for at least two more years. My hope is that at least three, you know, and then obviously I hope that if he's great for us, we're going to keep re-signing him with his bird rights. So hopefully all that will take place. But yeah, I mean, I was excited. I think in a season where you're looking for things to cheer for, I think I'm happy they went ahead and wrapped it up, because I was starting to get nervous, especially after that 27-9. I mean, I think I was texting y'all, we need to get it. Cause I mean, when you break a record that's held by a 19-year-old Kobe Bryant and 19-year-old LeBron James, when you start, every game seems to be throwing out records of breaking guys like that. You want to get him signed up, before he just becomes so good that he might actually test the free agent waters after this summer. But in a good way, I'm excited about it. He's been a huge, you know, he has been the, I mean, I guess Vince Williams is the silver lining, but maybe they're both silver linings. You know, had the highlight last night of a finger roll from the free throw line. So kind of continuing to show his unbelievable athleticism, with some real scoring skill. If you look on Twitter, I don't even know who, but they blew it up so you could see Brandon Clark, Jaw, and Bane all get super excited or like almost kind of just like excited, but almost sort of like, whoa, I can't believe he just pulled that off, jumping from the free throw line and finger rolling it in. So he just continues to look great. Even last night in a frustrating loss, I was actually kind of annoyed we lost to the Hornets, because the Hornets are really terrible. That was their biggest win of the year, 9 points. They'd lost 10 coming into that. The Bucks had just beaten them by 40. So it was actually I was actually a little frustrated with that loss. But he was still a bright spot. I mean, he played well, has a couple defensive breakdowns here and there, but that's to be expected with a 19-year-old. But just offensively, it just seems like more and more he's looking great. Looking better every game, honestly, more confident, we keep waiting for the 3-point shooting to come down. It still looks good. And I just think the defense will come. I think he has the tools and the desire. I think most of his defensive breakdowns are lack of experience, mental breakdown type stuff. And that's the thing, like with Jenkins, with our system, the way you have it right now, I feel pretty confident that we're going to get the best out of almost everybody defensively. I'm trying to not be too excited. I know I also sent a thing. I sent a tweet to y'all this week comparing his stats to a rookie Jason Tatum stats, almost feeling bad about doing that. But, I mean, it's real. It's a real thing. I mean, him playing the Celtics last weekend kind of shown that even more. But, I mean, he really does look like a young Jason Tatum, a young Paul George. I mean, that is the way he looks and kind of carries himself. And it's just really, really exciting, because it's the kind of, you know, him and Vince Williams have been two player. I feel like the exact players we've been looking for, honestly, since probably the core four, since like 2011, we've been looking for players like this. And the fact that we might have found two of them and we'll have them wrapped up from two, maybe hopefully 3 years on really cheap deals is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's just when you look at the next 2 years, you have Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark, Vince Williams, and now GG Jackson, all on contracts that run at least through the end of those 2 years. Now you have Ja and Bane and Brandon running past that, and now technically you have team options on Vince and GG as well. But you think about that as a top eight in a playoff series, and you already got them. Like, that's the best news of this whole thing. Yes, you don't have a true center. Yes, you might need some more shooting, but if you see GG develop his shot like he's been, Bane, we know, is an elite shooter. You know, Jaren can space the floor especially as a five. It's just exciting to think of the possibilities in a closing lineup where you can have, you know, Vince, GG, and Marcus rotate amongst your wings depending on, you know, who's the matchups and who's in foul trouble and all that, right, who's hitting. But you have your core three, and then plus whoever you want from those other three, slotting into a lineup of death. Like, this is just an unbelievable haul by Zach Kleiman to get both Vince Williams and GG signed up at $2 million, right around $2 million each year for the next couple of seasons. And I mean, all the reporting, of course, is that GG would have been top five in this draft. We see Vince having the chip on his shoulder that he does. I mean, it's just a best case scenario from what was turning out to be such a sad season. We also previewing what Zach Kleiman was talking about in his presser from Friday. Brandon Clark could also make a cameo at the end of the season. We're going to get a look at him to see how he plays. And that's, you know, next year the contract gets a little bit more valuable if he shows what we think he can show. And so there's just some optionality moving forward, even more optionality to build around this eight. And I think that Grizzlies fans should be extremely excited about what we got in Vince and GG in their contracts this season. Yeah.
I know last week at Parker on the podcast, he was talking about how he would have been a top five, maybe even number one, number two pick. You know, that's been echoed this week by guys like Gary Parrish, by, I believe, people like Seth Parnell, some like other Adam Venice, I never know how to pronounce his last name. But anyway, all it says is like a lot of national guys have come out and said he would have been a top five pick. So I think that wasn't just like Homer media people, but it was actually national media people. So that's pretty exciting. And also, I think another thing, and kind of what you were talking about, you kind of mentioned this death lineup thing. But Vince Williams and GG Jackson, it's the sample size is not yet there with GG to say it, but they both look like pretty good rebounders, above average rebounders, you know, which is kind of the one thing we look for because of Jaren's deficiencies in that area. And, you know, I've always found it a little too much, but the fact that he's not some amazing rebounder, the fact that maybe these two guys could be pretty good rebounders for their position also point to potentially being able to play in some small closing lineups as well, as far as when we think about the traditional big type stuff.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So Zach Kleiman talked to the media on Friday, and it was about a 20-minute appearance. Was asked everything from what the deadline results were, as well as what he thought about the development of the team and the future. And I have just a few highlights that I wrote down, which were my favorite parts of the presser. And Kraft, I'd love to hear your thoughts. First thing at the very top of the list was he is over the moon excited about the draft asset that we have going into the 2024 draft this summer. And it sounded like it was because it could be obviously very, very high. And that means we have an option to draft someone. And you know, we will get into the history of high draft picks that Klieman has had, but he hasn't had one this high with this much context about his team at this point with Vince and Gigi now. Also, this could become a very valuable trade asset. You never know who's going to come on the market from a center perspective or even another wing that we like, just somebody to complement what we already have. And so that was huge to hear him talking about that asset and how excited he was about it. There has been some conjecture about it, the trade deadline, should he have moved that pick for somebody. It didn't seem like anybody was available worth that pick for what it's worth. The luxury tax, of course, he was asked about the next season going over the first or second apron, if he had a limit, and he said that Robert Pera has been an amazing owner, not only financially, but he also just gives Klieman the latitude to do whatever Klieman thinks is best. And of course, he mentioned the basketball reasons not to go over the second apron, but it was great to hear that he's not operating under a budget, which is rare for a team in a market like Memphis. And it's very exciting because that means our options are even more going into the season. Of course, I think that they'll still try to do their best not to do any dumb moves to get that would be way too expensive, but something to note. Of course, he was asked as well about Zaire and Jake and whether he considered moving them at the deadline. He was, let's say, had a different tone when he talked about Jake and Zaire than when he was talking about Gigi and Vince and how exciting they've been. He did say that they'll have the opportunity for the rest of the season to show the front office and the coaching staff something. And he also made the comment of, you know, there might be something there that will surprise people if they put it together. I'm going to just assume he means Jake LaRavia having more opportunity in health. That's the only thing I can think of in terms of somebody who we haven't already seen. And then the last thing was the injury question, which was centered around whether we would see Marcus or Dez the rest of the season. Klieman made the comment that record does not necessarily dictate who we're going to see on the floor. I got to think it kind of does. If we're just absolutely trying at the very end to, let's say, get below one of the teams that's in the bottom five right now, if we keep losing and have it gets really close, like I think they're probably going to strategically not play their guys. But overall, the biggest takeaway was one that I mentioned earlier with BC and how we could see Brandon Clark come back and play. And I'd love to, that would also, I think, give Jaren something to play for because Jaren has been the one out there almost each and every night. But I think after the All-Star break, you're even going to see Jaren get more DNPs as things move forward. And we have Trey Jemison now for the rest of this year to play. And overall, those were my biggest takeaways from the presser. Didn't seem like anything necessarily surprising, but I do just love how transparent and excited it seems that Klieman is overall about this team and their prospects moving forward. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you never know whether it's better that he doesn't speak a lot, because when he does speak, it's exciting and you want to hear it. And so, but whenever he does speak, I always feel like, man, I wish he did a few more appearances, was able to do a few more interviews, because I always appreciate kind of how he responds. And I think, so for me, the biggest highlight, I mean, you talked about the different tone, but really, honestly, the biggest thing to me that is the most exciting is when he talks about Robert Pera as an owner. Because one, you see stuff like when we do a 20-30 pick swap type stuff. And we talked about this last summer. I mean, how amazing it is to be an organization where they can think that long term. I mean, you have half the NBA where GMs see Mavs, see a lot of other organizations are making very short term, very reactionary moves, mortgaging the future for the present. And the fact that we can continue to make moves that might not pay off in six or 7 years because of the way our organization thinks. But the biggest to me is that I don't have a budget. You know, that the reason to not be over the second apron, as we talked about, is not because the Grizzlies are cheap, but because of basketball reasons, because it's really, really penalizing. But I think it's exciting to me because, you know, as someone who wants to not, I mean, obviously wants to win a title, hopes to win multiple titles, would love to have a dynasty or something like that at some point. What I really want as just a Grizzlies fan is just to be really good for a really long time. And I want, and the thought that in 2 or 3 years when we were talking, I mean, we have these great 2 or 3 years coming up, but after that, when we're going to have to pay some guys, and you see that with the Celtics are starting to hit that now with Tatum and Jaylen Brown, where they're going to have to pay them even more and are very tight. I just think the fact that if we're winning and we're good and we have guys like Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi who are really, really awesome, and that we want to keep around and add to this core. And when it comes time to re-sign Jaren Jackson and him to him probably get a max type contract, the hope is that we'll keep paying and that it might be that if there's basketball reasons to be closer to that second apron, even higher, because we don't need like the flexibility that we lose doesn't matter because we have like a top 7 or 8 that are just unbelievably amazing. I feel like that's the kind of thing that makes me feel like Para is open to that, even though he's probably going to lose money. We're a small market team. I just don't see that sort of just being cheap. If we are good, I just don't think that's gonna ever enter into the, you know, be a problem at all for Robert Para. And so I think that's just really exciting that I think that Kleiman and our organization have all the freedom. I think so. That to me, that's the biggest just really exciting takeaway, is that we just need to stop. And I think honestly, some of our media, some longtime Grizz fans, we're still kind of stuck in the Chris Wallace, Heisley just mindset about things with this. It's maybe we could, you know, to go even deeper, it's just sort of a Memphis mentality sometimes. And I think we should be really excited that we have an owner who's going to spend, who, if we have a winning team, is going to try to keep it going as long as possible. And it's just exciting.
For sure. It was a fun presser. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. It's one of the very first videos up there on the Grizzlies page. All right. So before we get into the games upcoming this week, who's your MVP of the past week?
You know, I almost sometimes wonder when we lose every game if we should have MVPs. But no, I mean, my MVP, I mean, it's weird. Maybe this is the first edition, first MVP maybe of a long, long career as a Grizzly. But I'm giving it to Gigi Jackson because he, one, has played in every game, unlike some of our better players. But, you know, he's been the reason to watch, 27-9 coming off the bench. He's just been the bright spot, looking at the plus minus. I think he's had one of the best plus minuses for us. Vince, I think, actually had maybe his first kind of not great game last night against the Hornets. I'm just not used to seeing him like get beat by guys that you've never heard of. And he was last night. So I feel like he's starting to, the All-Star breaks creeping in to Vince a little bit. But Gigi, I feel like he's come and he's brought it and he's playing hard and he's doing things. And, you know, he's been the bright spot of every game this last week, including that fun comeback against the Knicks that almost happened. So I'm going to give it to Gigi.
Same here. Whenever you get a contract like the one you get, you're gonna earn the MVP of the week from me. So very valuable in many ways. Let's just put it that way. This week we have 3 games all at home. Pelicans Monday night, Rockets Wednesday night, and Bucks on Thursday at 7:30. So a back-to-back there. And then we head off to the All-Star break, which the NBA will take a week off. Of course, you'll have the weekend activities in Indianapolis with the dunk contest, three-point contest, you know, Rising Stars. No Grizzlies, however, are going to be representing. And so this actually ends up, I think, overall being a really good thing for our guys. I think that they earned a full break. Your break does get cut short by everything going on and wherever the All-Star break is or the games are. And I think this will be a great time to lock in for the final 27 or so games that will be on the schedule, and it'll be all about development at that point. I think, you know, the coaching staff too, with all the different injuries, having to make decisions night to night that you don't traditionally have to make as a coach, will have a well-earned break. And who knows, we might record as well, but TBD on that with our own personal, you know, all-star break. John Kraft, you're my first ballot all-star, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. It might end up being a joint Grizz Den Week Den pod or something like that, to maybe some big picture stuff. Looking forward over the all-star, but hey, I will say, if he had played earlier, I think Gigi could have maybe made the Rising Stars game, honestly, if he had been playing from the beginning of the season the way he's been playing the last little bit. So might even see him make appearance next year.
Right. Exactly. We'll kind of lump the last part of this pod all together, because we technically are three games into what would have been the next 10-game prediction. And of course, with the trade deadline and everything like that, we had to prioritize that. So we haven't had an opportunity to give our next 10-game prediction, but we do have the Pelicans, Rockets, and Bucks. Dylan Brooks will be in the building if he's not injured. I don't believe he's injured. I think he's active right now. He was injured for a while there. But
no, he was actually last night. So just to throw out there, I think Grizz fans will appreciate this. Last night was a return, and it is also the official marking of Houston Rockets Twitter turning on Dylan for bad shot selection and shooting too much. It was all over the Rockets Twitter last night. It looks like the honeymoon with Dylan is over down there in Houston.
Honestly, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. I would love to now lurk over on Houston Rockets Twitter and just see them complain. And it's so nice. It's so nice not to have to worry about that anymore. But the Pelicans, the Bucks in particular, are still making very serious pushes towards their seeding in the playoffs. Rockets have fallen off just a bit, but they're also going to have an eye towards winning these games, especially one where they see as extremely winnable if they just play their A game. And so I think you could see a bunch of guys play if you want to go to the home games this week. I think it'll be a fun opportunity. And the rest of the season, I would just encourage fans, after this year, I don't foresee it ever being this cost-effective to go to a Grizzlies game and maybe sit a little bit closer than you normally would, because there's plenty of tickets to go around and you're still going to see the stars coming into town. And also you get to cheer for our guys who get to play spoiler. And so all that to say, we'll get to our next 10 game predictions to close out the pod, but keep going to the games, keep enjoying having the team here and cheering on the guys who are really going to be putting it all out there.
Yeah, we've done a good job of not, as much as I was frustrated at the Hornets, because I just think even with what we have, we're better than them. But it was a road game, you know, so I'm trying to get over it. I'm also realizing it's almost all-star break. But we've been competitive. I mean, we come out and try hard. I've not yet gone, since in this last month, I've enjoyed every home game I've gone to. I feel like we've really tried hard, and if we lose, it's because honestly we just don't have closers. We don't execute in the fourth quarter the way that other teams do that have their players. But I think, you know, I think it's been great. And hey, an opportunity, you know, especially Thursday night. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, if you're a bargain hunter, wait to make sure that they're not going to rest Giannis for that last game before All-Star break. But I mean, if you have a chance to get close to see Giannis, I think that's just well worth any money you could pay. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, and you know, might, when it's all said and done, be the best like power forward to ever play the NBA. And I'd go and see him if you could, especially if you can get close.
My 10 game prediction, after very in-depth analysis here, is going to be 2-8. We are technically 0-3 thus far, but we do have a couple of Portland games on the schedule within this window. And so I'll go ahead and say we're going to steal one from somebody who's not expecting it, because we're going to get hot shooting from three. And then we're going to also steal one of those Portland games when they come to town for their own back-to-back set in Memphis. So that's my prediction, 2-8.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest, because I did this and I said 4-6. Now, what was I thinking? Was I thinking 4-6? So, I mean, I'm trying to be true to myself. I had Chicago and Charlotte as wins. Chicago at home and then at Charlotte as wins. They were not. So I guess I could collect the difference and be three and seven, but I'm going to try to be true to myself. I do not think we're going to hit it now, but 4-6. I do think I am predicting that these next three home games, we are going to steal one of them. We're not going to go into the All-Star break on an 11-game losing streak. I think we steal one of them. I think tomorrow's a chance just because the Pelicans like to be the Pelicans. Please don't let's get season swept by Rockets. Maybe let's pull off the Rockets win somehow. But with that, I'm going to go 4-6, sure to be wrong. All that said, I was correct in my 3-7. In my 3-7 for the last 10, I did hit that for sure. Sadly, I was like 3-2 looking great. I thought we were going to be great, and then we've started this terrible losing streak. So,
yeah, I honestly did, with all the trade deadline stuff going on, resting people, rumors going around, I didn't think we were going to perform well last week, and I do think now that that's settled down, guys know their roles, they know how much opportunity they're going to get and won't be looking over their shoulder. And so that's why I do think we're going to pull out a couple of these, but the talent deficiency is very real. I don't think Jaren's going to be as active as he's been, and there's still a little bit of time for guys like Dez or Marcus Smart to even have the opportunity to come back from a health standpoint. So 2-8 is my prediction.
Plus, Laravia's coming back, so I'm counting on big post All Star Jake Laravia games.
Jay Law should be back by then. Returning,
you know, with total. I mean, he probably will have. The coach is telling him he needs 10 shots a game. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun edition of the Weekend Update. We are still going to be keeping you guys, you know, up to date on all the happenings. There's still stuff worth watching in the season. We're going to be following very closely Jake Laravia and the other developmental guys. See if Trey Jemison can maybe make a name, try out for another two-way. See if Jacob Gilliard can keep it rolling like he's been, and just the rest of the roster. It's really fun.
Pay attention to the Jaren at five storyline. I think that's a big thing. I think everybody, you know, this might become the new Dylan, pro Dylan, anti Dylan takes, which is, do we like Jaren at the five or not? I mean, I feel like that's going to be the big debate coming out of this season, going into the summer. Like, you know, how much do we need to spend? How many assets do we need to put into getting a big alongside Jaren, or can a Jaren Clark, a Jaren GG, you know, to Jaren, I guess just with a smaller lineup work.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for joining us. For Kraft, I'm Will. We will talk to you next week then.